This week's episode of Greetings from Wonderland is brought to you by
Dog Boy, Den of Thieves by Bill Meeks. Available now on the Amazon Kindle, iBooks, at CreateSpace, or for the Barnes & Noble Nook. And find out more at dogboyadventures.com.
Who's that?
Alice.
Show yourself!
Hello, Alice. It's lovely to see you again.
Greetings from Wonderland. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is A Hole to Nowhere. We also talk about Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. How are you doing, Anne-Marie?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. It feels like it's been a while since we've talked about this show.
It has been. It's been 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. Because they had the week off.
We were off a week, and then we were off a week.
Yeah, because we missed class last week, which
we did. We didn't have all our notes.
I guess it's generally just as well because we didn't like the episode too much. We'll talk about it a little bit though. But do you want to go ahead and introduce our guest this week, Anne-Marie?
That's right, guests, plural. Yes. We have two.
We have guests.
We have a veteran guest, Deborah, also known as Snow Bunny 143. Oh, how are you doing?
Yay! Good. 2 a.m.
Nice. Love the 2 a.m. podcasting.
Yeah, we haven't had you on since our Comic-Con spoiler
was it
party.
Was it Comic-Con or Dragon-Con?
Was it the Comic-Con spoiler party I thought it was? I can look.
It was a Friday night spoiler party, but I can't remember now because it's been a while.
Yeah, I think it was the one.
Comic-Con. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was the one like right before Dragon Con. Yeah, and we called it the Monday Night Comic-Con party, I think. I think that was
it.
Yeah, that might have been it.
Yeah.
Something like
it's 2 a.m. You can say whatever you want, and I'll just agree with you.
She's going to smile and nod and agree. There we go.
You've been on every episode that we've ever done.
Yes!
you were the lost third host for Greetings.
There we go.
Slash Wonder.
And you Sasha Gallifrey.
We actually have a second guest as well, don't we?
A second guest. We have Rebecca from Operation Cobra Podcast. Hi.
What's up, everybody?
Yay.
Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. We name drop you in like every other episode anyway, because we've had some sort of Twitter conversation.
Exactly.
Nice. Yep.
You're a reference point for us sometimes.
Yeah, and some of our listeners over the summer might have heard the Grimm's Fairy Tale I recorded for Rebecca, because she was doing a bunch of dramatic readings of lesser known Grimm's Fairy Tales while we were on the off season. So, yeah, you might have caught that in our feed as well. And you were also on the Once Upon a Time season 2 panel we did at Dragon Con, right? Or I did at
Dragon Con. Yes, I was part of that as well.
Yes, that was a good time. It was a very
good times.
Great times. I remember most of it. There are a few moments.
I was eating adult gummy bears, so I don't.
Yeah, that gets to be a long weekend.
Yes.
Okay, so let's see here. I guess we should go ahead and dive in and talk about this week's episode. Anne-Marie, you want to do the episode summary?
Okay, this is my first time reading it all the way through, so this should be good. The Queen makes Alice cross the Great Divide while Cyrus attempts to get out from inside. Jafar cuts the foot of our brave little rabbit while we see Anastasia make ambition her habit. Our heroine faces off against a creepy young Alice and does the right thing, though her heart's filled with malice. And we see the Red Queen ascend to the throne in this week's episode, Heart of Stone. That was a good one.
I liked it.
Yay!
That really sums it up, actually.
That was a really good summary.
Yeah, see, that was another thing last week when we were like getting the show prep and everything together was I just wasn't inspired to do a rhyme even. I don't know. The episode just fell in. Well, I guess we can go ahead and talk about last week's episode for, 5 minutes here at the top. I won't start first because I really hated it. So, Anne-Marie, what did you give us a general impression of last week's episode?
I didn't like it either, so we should. I just didn't. I felt it was kind of forced.
Yes.
A bit. Filler. Like the act. Yes, it was a filler episode. It was a, oh, we need to tell you this. We're just going to throw it all at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Some of the acting left a bit to be desired for me. So that's really an issue for me.
Well,
but I believe both of our guests seem to enjoy it a little more. So anybody want to take that?
I will.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I actually really enjoyed that episode because for the basically this whole time, I've been like, what is the motivation for any of these villains? Mm-hmm. I have no idea what they're doing, why they're doing it. So I was actually glad to see Jafar's story explained as to why he needed revenge to get back at his father and that he needed these three genies so that it explained why he wanted Cyrus. Mm-hmm. So I was really glad to see all of that. And I mean, just a generic overview of why I liked the episode was that, you know, I liked the introduction of the lizard. Mm-hmm. I really liked the great twist in Jafar's backstory where we actually saw what happened with his staff. Like, I thought that was really cool. That
I liked that, yeah.
That Amara actually turned into his staff. So I really enjoyed that. And I thought Alice was really smart in that episode, even though part of the, you know, executioner sequence was kind of predictable. I really liked that she was really smart in that episode. And just, I think what really capped it off for me was that ending montage with the wishbone thing. Mm-hmm. I really, really liked that because it kind of brought all those characters together in that one little moment. So, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't the greatest episode I've ever seen, but it was it was one of the stronger ones for Wonderland.
Yeah, I definitely love the, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the way that you said that made me like the episode more. Like, I guess
you might... Good.
Yes. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we have this down in our points, so I might as well discuss it now. But the lizard character was a really good character. I actually, until I saw this week's episode, I thought it might be a possibility that they might even be setting her up to be Will Scarlet, the Knave's true love or whatever, you know, or his new love interest. But I'm sure we'll probably get into it during the discussion of this week's episode. But it almost seemed like they were kind of setting him back up to maybe go back with his former girlfriend. But we'll talk about that in a few. But Rebecca, I definitely agree that anything with Cyrus through the entire series, I think, has been wonderful. Every Cyrus scene is like the best part of the episode every week.
Yeah, he's pretty great. Wish there was
more of him. I'm happy he's out now. Maybe we will get more of him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of key. And seeing as how I think we only have, what, 3 episodes left or something? So, because I think they're ending at 8.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Yeah. I think it was originally, what, was it originally a 16?
Well, I thought it was going to be like a 10, then a 10, 12,
then a 12.
Then a question mark.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And now everything I'm seeing is 8. So that doesn't give us long to wrap up.
Yeah.
But
well, why don't we go ahead and dive into the discussion of Heart of Stone this week's episode? I think we were a little more universal in our thoughts across the board. Why don't starting with Anne-Marie, why don't we go ahead and just give a brief summary of what we thought of the episode?
I liked this one. I struggled a little through the first half, but then all of a sudden it was like, pow, here's some good information. Here's some good scenes. Here's some not wanting to kill all the characters. So, yeah. And evil Alice is scary.
Yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
So creepy.
I was like, oh my God, 8-year-old child. What in the heck?
Zombie, angry Alice, child of the night. Very terrifying.
It almost seemed like the design for the little Alice, Lilla Alice, was from that Alice video game that, you know, has been popular for 20 years, and they come out with a new one every 2 years where it's kind of like a twisted Alice in Wonderland or something.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty cool. Rebecca, what did you think of the episode overall?
I would agree. I liked this episode. The big part of it for me was the big, you know, leap of faith that she had to do, which I think is funny because this season of, you know, Once Upon a Time, the once verse has had these like leaps of faith that people have to do to build these bridges. Like you saw that in Neverland with the Echo Cave and all that. So I thought that was funny that seems to be kind of a little you know,
parallel,
a little parallel, and it, you know, it always makes me think of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. So anytime I think about that, I enjoy it. But yeah, I mean, in general, this was another strong episode for Alice, and I'm really glad to see that because, I mean, this is her story. So anytime there's a great Alice situation, mm-hmm. that makes me happy. And I thought there was some really decent Red Queen backstory and some good villain stuff with Jafar. Him cutting the rabbit's foot off was awesome.
Oh, poor rabbit.
And I really felt for Will Scarlet at the end there when the Red Queen sort of takes her, you know, throne or whatever. Right. So I thought it was a really good episode overall.
Excellent. How about you, Deborah?
I really, really enjoyed this episode, I guess more so than last week's. I think my favorite part was seeing the Red Queen she got humanized for me. She's been mm-hmm. this really mm-hmm. like big lipped, like I don't really know what's going on with her, but I really enjoyed seeing her with Will when they were, you know, they got through the portal and when they were mm-hmm. kind of, you know, trying to make their way. I think that really humanized her for me in a minute. And then when I saw her become the queen, that helped me kind of understand her backstory, that she's very ambitious, that she wants it. But it did break my heart when I saw Will all sad. That really definitely broke my heart. But I think it told me a lot because it I can tell that the Red Queen does love him. Although she wants and she needs the power, it's mm-hmm. kind of like Regina-esque. You know, she needs and wants the power, but she still has compassion. So that's kind of interesting mm-hmm. in its own right. So that's what I liked about this episode.
Yeah, and I really liked it too. It was really weird though, and me and Anne-Marie were talking about this. It seemed like the quality was kind of poor and kind of like, oh, I don't even want to watch this for the first half of the episode. And then the second half of the episode, once they get to the Great Divide and Alice falls, like the episode really picked up. And you know, I thought
all storylines too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that definitely the back at half of this episode, it was equal to my favorite episode of the series so far, which was the caterpillar one a couple episodes back.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But you know, definitely great overall. I guess we should go ahead and get into our points here. I believe yours is first, Anne-Marie.
Mine is first. It's my computer's dying, but thankfully I know what the point was. Lizard. Okay. Mm-hmm. She seemed really randomly placed for me last episode. Mm-hmm. But then she was, you know, she was pretty important. She was pretty pivotal. And now she disappeared.
Yeah, she's gone. Yeah.
Like, she was alive, right? Like, she was alive. Wouldn't she have been, you know, still helping Alice?
I think the last we saw of her, didn't Jafar throw her into some shrubbery?
She got up after that, though.
Yeah, the last time we saw her was actually during that montage, and she actually sees the Red Queen, I guess, fix Will from being in stone. So she's sort of looking at the two of them. So I don't know if that's setting up some sort of weird love triangle.
Yes, Yeah, it's like she's alive. How did she just disappear? Why wouldn't she be like with Alice trying to like figure it all out?
Well, maybe
I assume she was just sort of going to take up where the knave left off.
Well, you know, if she's really being put there to be part of the knave's story, then maybe, you know, her plot line was kind of frozen while he was.
And, you know, that's a good point.
Right.
Maybe now that he's been brought back to life, we'll see a little more of Lizard, too. So,
yeah, that was mm-hmm. my thing with her.
Okay, and you want to go ahead and talk a little bit about
lines?
Evil young Alice?
Oh, evil young Alice. Okay, so I'm trying to figure out how the enchantment worked. Like, did it just sense whoever was there and turn into them, or was evil young Alice placed down there?
I'm guessing it was probably one of those situations where it just kind of manifested a being or a figure that the person being tested would trust. You know, and who would you trust more than, you know, the scared little girl you used to be?
That little girl was not scared.
Oh,
that little girl was scary.
Yes, definitely.
She was really scary.
Although it was really weird after Alice made her decision when she came back around, and she looked pretty normal. She looked pretty straightforward.
So yeah, it like cleaned her up a little bit.
Her hair was all nice and coiffed and clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of the dirt disappeared.
She didn't have dark circles under her eyes that made it look like she was going to kill you.
But it seemed okay. So we didn't really find out what kind of dust this is, though, right?
It's just a magic dust. Yeah, that's what they
is
have
this the infamous pixie dust, which is like fairy dust on crack?
It almost seemed like anti-magic dust.
No, because it performs magic.
But didn't it basically just cancel out any dark magic, like anything that Jafar had done, like cloaking his castle or turning Will into stone?
Okay.
That was the impression.
That is true. That's a good point. Could be.
So I wonder, I don't know, you know, tying it back into the main series, maybe it's some derivative of, I don't know, squid ink or something that we've seen being used over in the main series to stop.
Squid ink.
Maybe.
Gotta love squid ink.
Definitely. I think it's like a kind of a version of the pixie dust, though. Mm-hmm. Because whenever we see the pixie dust, it's doing like super magic. Which, like, the finding, because isn't that what they used to find Regina's other true love?
Yeah, and I mean, you know,
fairy dust?
Pixie dust or even fairy dust could probably be used to do what they're doing, but it's just that, you know, without much effort, both times we see it used, it has basically the same effect, which is canceling out Jafar's magic. It seems like it's been made and I mean, I think the Red Queen even says it at one point that it's like specifically made for that purpose.
Okay.
You know, to cancel.
Who hit it then?
What's that?
Who hit it?
I almost felt because of the way that, you know, creepy little Alice and everything was there, that there was almost like some sort of like guardian spirit or big entity thing in that mountain, you know, protecting it or, you know, only doling it out to people who deserved it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. Like, I thought the dust just sort of lived there, and anybody who went down there had to go through that test.
Okay.
At first, though, when Alice was like walking across the invisible bridge, and then she went down, I was like, "Wait a second, why isn't she pure of heart? What happened between steps?"
Yes, I was like, "Did she just have an impure thought?"
Yeah, but I think little Alice or crazy Alice, I don't know what to really call her, zombie Alice, she really did a good job of riling big Alice up. And I think, you know, there's definitely a play on like her emotions of how she felt about, you know, the Red Queen, of how much she took her love away. So I think there was really a push to be like, how far can I push her to see if she cracks? So it was good to see that, you know, she didn't fall for it. But you could see the Red Queen was a little bit shaken in her, you know, red gown a minute when she finally was like, okay, I'm not going to kill you right now, but we'll see what happens later.
There were a couple of points before they made the big reveal that it was all a test that I thought maybe Creepy Alice was sort of like an agent or a spell done by Jafar, since he was over in his castle asking for, you know, background personal information on Big Alice. I thought maybe he was going to try and, like, you know, hit her where it hurts, talking to her through Little Alice. But then obviously, you know, it turned out to be the great test that luckily Alice passed. I would have killed the Red Queen. Easy.
Yeah, probably.
But I guess that just makes me an awful person who'll never get anti-magic dust.
Nope, no anti-magic dust for you.
Not pure of heart.
No.
Speaking of being an awful person, though, we do get a lot of background on the Red Queen in this episode. And, you know, the main point being in her character, I think, is that you know, while she loves Will and everything, her ambition kind of controls her. And I was a little confused because in some ways it seemed almost they were saying that ambition is inherently evil, or maybe they were just saying it's evil if you put it above someone that you care about, or you know, your only ambition is to, I don't know, glorify or lift up yourself instead of, you know, having an ambition to make the world a better place or something. But I also kind of I was kind of curious what you guys thought, whether you thought that you know, Anastasia or the Red Queen had sort of this you know, ambition in her, or if she was really just trying to get mommy's approval. You know, cause from that scene in the beginning
where I wanted a queen for a daughter.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I think it's both. I mean, could you imagine having a mother that said, I would rather have a queen other than you? And who are these sisters? It kind of reminded me of Cinderella a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not saying that she was, you know, like a maid or anything, but it felt like, oh, you're not as worthy as they are. So it kind of, it hurt me because, you know, that's not a way you want to feel about your mother. So I could tell that obviously, you know, the Red Queen wants that type of approval from her mother. But I think the ambition, like the king said, is inherently within you, regardless of what happened, you know, that she's destined for more. And that, I guess, you know, something that was interesting in their backstory with her mother.
I think it's funny that her mother was very Cora-like and tied that back around to Once Upon a Time, because both of those mothers wanted queens for daughters. They both they both disapproved of their daughter's happiness. And so I just think that's interesting that, you know, they sort of made these queens, you know, Regina is a queen, the Red Queen is a queen. And then, you know, is it a prerequisite to be a queen to have some overbearing mother that wants you to be in that position? So
in a certain sense, you know, it being that we're all fans of the main series too, you know, it becomes kind of, I don't know, redundant thematically. Like, we've kind of already seen these beats played out a little bit in the main series too, which makes it a little weird. Something else I thought was kind of weird in the scene with the mother was that they, you know, they had cut off that scene with them about to jump into the portal. And then they, you know, in the teaser for this week's episode, they just kind of break in and have this whole other scene there. It's like you couldn't have thought of some other way to do that scene, like maybe have it between Anastasia and her mother before Will got back with the portal or something.
Right.
You know, it just seemed kind of sloppy being put there in the timeline. It felt like it could have been put maybe a little before, but maybe that's just me.
No, it was a little off-putting for me because I remembered before when they were going to do that, I just assumed they went ahead and jumped in there. And so
I did too.
Then when they went back and said, oh no, the mother popped in, it was I had to take a second to adjust to that.
Yeah, it almost felt, and you know, I don't know about you guys, but I've kind of got this, and I think Anne Marie has too, a bit through the series, that some things are kind of like being reworked, like up to right before they air or something, and they're kind of like rejiggering things based on reaction and stuff like that,
and cutting multiple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that's really affecting the story.
Yeah, it just definitely feels like they keep they're like kind of readjusting every episode or so, and like changing their game plan, the creator's game plan in the course of the series, and it's making it feel just a little just disjointed overall. Although, you know, like we said, this week's episode was a lot better, especially the last half of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because the order for the episodes got cut short, maybe they just have to kind of rein it in and have a bunch of stuff happen right away because they only have, you know, X amount of episodes instead of the amount they were going to have.
Let's
shove as much information as possible in two episodes and blow everyone's mind.
Yeah.
Well, it worked.
Exactly.
So, Emery, you had a point here?
Well, we talked about most of this, but I personally am completely much more entertained by Will, Scarlet, and Anastasia than Cyrus and Alice. And I'm probably alone in my little corner with that. But I don't know. Maybe it's just because I find him so much more interesting than Alice. She kind of bores me.
Well, for me, Will's probably my favorite character in the series still at this point, too. What about you guys?
Oh, I love the Knave. Yeah.
Yeah, I love him. He's so cute.
I also really like the Anastasia character. I really don't like the Red Queen, although we finally got an explanation for why she talks so weird this episode, which I was glad she was imitating Crown Jewel's person from the ball. So
Anne-Marie, I agree with you because we haven't really seen a lot of Alice and Cyrus. We've seen them separately, but we only got to see them in the first episode together, really.
It was all fast.
Here and there. But it's hard for us to really fall in love with them as a couple because they weren't really together. And I think we've seen more of Will and Anastasia than we have of, you know, Cyrus and Alice. So I think if we got a little bit more of them together, maybe, you know, really in the love stage, I think it would make our hearts smell a little bit more. But I agree with you in that statement about Will and Anastasia.
Yeah, I don't know. She just, as strong as her character seems to be, it just doesn't seem that strong to me. Does that make sense?
It's because she's a strong female lead, So we see her as this single entity compared to a couple, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe why, like, just mentally, why we feel that, oh, okay, she's not, that, like, their story is kind of boring because I haven't really seen much from the two.
Well, I was I was actually expecting a lot more flashbacks to their world-jumping days that are alluded to in the first couple episodes, you know?
Yeah, about that.
And they've just never really called back to it. It's if they address it in flashback at all, it's, you know, based around when Cyrus got taken or when they first met. And that's really all we've seen of their past. But
really, how long were they together? Because the way that it's been set up, I feel like they weren't together very long before all of the drama. Maybe that's just what's happened, or because of how they've had to cut it. I don't know. It just, I wanted more. I like backstory.
Really. Why like couldn't backstory. We have more?
Yes. But going along that, though, what happens to the king? I want to know what happens to the smarmy king.
That was one of my questions, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't see him now, so there something must have happened to him.
And obviously, somebody killed him.
And I would assume the Red Queen killed him.
Yeah, awesome. But, you know, he's just as smarmy as she is.
Mm-hmm. Smarmy.
Smarmy.
Do we get his name? What his name was? King Wonderland?
I didn't get his name. I just assumed he was the Red King.
Yeah, I would assume because, you know, the whole chess motif and everything.
Yeah.
That would make the most sense. I recognize the actor from somewhere, though. I don't know if he's been on some sitcom in the past or something.
I tried to look him up, too, and I could not find any information about that guy, but his face looks so familiar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just couldn't place him.
I'm researching. This is what I always do. Sorry. Red King from The Lookings. Sorry, you continue talking around me.
Yes, but I did like the flashbacks, definitely. I'm trying to think if I had any other points here. You guys can feel free to jump in, too. See, this happens sometimes. Anne-Marie goes on a research quest, and then I'm like, oh, wait.
Well, that's because we say something, and I need to know. I need to know.
No, I really, the general topic of the flashback, I really like that Anastasia was like, you know, we're going to go in for one last big job, one last big haul. It felt kind of like a Ocean's 11 or something. You know, that one last big score before they retire forever and go back to the old land.
Did you laugh as hard as I did about all the townsfolk just like lollygagging around? Like, it's probably 10 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden, hey, there's a queen. What's up, guys?
Yeah, quickest courtship ever.
Mm. Yeah, and those people seem to like the Red Queen, which I think is interesting. Oh, that's true. Maybe they hate her now. I don't know.
Yeah, she was brand new. That was before she killed the king. Come on.
No. Good call.
No, but I'm kind of wondering what Jafar has on her. Has that ever been made explicit? Because it seems like it could be a possibility that maybe he had something to do with it, too. And maybe that's why she has been operating under his auspice for, you know, the entire series.
Huh. Yeah, we don't know that either. And that drives me nuts. I just want to know. Tell me everything.
We want all the episodes right now.
Yeah, Alice even asked the Red Queen, what exactly do you hope to gain from all of this? And I thought, that's exactly what I want to know. I want to know the motivations for these evil characters. So, yeah, I think the Red Queen still has a lot of backstory that we need to learn.
It definitely feels like, I don't know, reconnecting with Will is definitely on the agenda for her, though. it feels like I don't know. She might almost have some sort of end game in mind past just the whole ambition thing. I don't have anything concrete I can point to, but just the combination of the flashback and that scene at the end where she brings him back. I don't know. I almost felt like maybe she was doing it towards a purpose, and I don't know, maybe it might tie back into that whole mother's approval thing, or it might not, but I mean, it almost seemed like she married the king towards a purpose that didn't preclude loving Will.
Yeah. So remember that really awkward episode where she was like really kind of a little bit more sexual than she really needed to be?
Oh, when she was like hitting on Jafar and everything?
You mean every episode?
That's true. But there was one up like, this is really, really awkward right now. Where do I look? I don't know what to say. And I think that might have something to do with it. Like, she's lonely. You know, we know that the Red King is gone. So I think she's looking for a mate. So that might be, you know, and she obviously still has a little bit of feelings toward the knave. So that might be where she's kind of looking for a new love interest. I mean, because those Tweedles, I don't know about them Tweedles. That eye creeped me out too.
Yeah, the Tweedles
need a little something.
Yeah, that got lost in our notes from last week's episode. But yeah, we weren't the Tweedles. I think last week was their first speaking lines, and they just weren't as unique as Tweedledum and Tweedledee should be. You know, they weren't as memorable. They're just kind of like these kind of foppish guys with weird makeup who one's working for the Red Queen pretty exclusively, and the other one's working for Jafar. And what's going on there?
I totally didn't even catch that they were the Tweedles until you pointed that out. I was like, oh really? Yeah, I'm special. I didn't even click that they were Tweedles.
Speaking of Jafar, though, I've heard that he is going to be the new villain in the next Saw sequel.
What?
Because he seems to be really into torture. I mean, he chopped off the poor John Lithgow's foot.
Poor bunny.
I loved a bunny.
So, like I said, he chopped off his foot and he was like, you have, 4 minutes and I can still reattach it and you'll be fine. But you have to tell me if someone Alice cares about. Do you think he – seems pretty clear that it was probably Alice's family.
Yeah,
I think so.
Which I thought it was really weird that he was willing to, give up that information to get his foot back. But then he was also willing, 5 minutes later, to help Cyrus escape. It seemed kind of...
Well, because he wanted to save his foot, dude. Mm-hmm. That's all the only reason he told them any of that.
Yeah, well, it seems like the White Rabbit, he's very much about self-preservation, but he does have a decent core to him, but when faced between an immediate danger to himself and self-sacrifice, he chooses, giving up someone to save himself a little bit. But it was good to see him kind of give himself up for Cyrus.
Yeah.
So he could get out. Where do you think that, because didn't Jafar say that, you know, he wanted the rabbit to make a hole to nowhere? What do you think that meant?
I didn't hear hole to nowhere.
I heard hole to nowhere.
I thought it was just
said make your hole.
Yeah, he just said dig your hole because it was somewhere that his carpet couldn't take him.
See, I thought I heard hole to nowhere. And that's unfortunate because that's what I led the episode with. So you guys talk.
I wondered about that. I'm gonna go
check the episode. You guys talk for a minute. I'll be right.
Because
now I'm curious. Oh
yeah, no, I'm pretty sure
we haven't seen the rabbit for a while now, right? Like, when was the last time we saw him other than just this episode?
There was one in between because he wasn't in the last episode.
Didn't he hide something? I'm trying to remember now. He hid something. Was it the bottle?
Or no, he took
the bottle to the queen.
He took the bottle. Yes, that's right. I think that's the last time I remember seeing him.
Yeah.
I think the last time he did anything.
That's true. I feel like we haven't seen him in a while.
I just watched the episode. Sorry to interrupt, but the rabbit says, but where do you want the hole to? And then Jafar says nowhere. So it is a hole to nowhere.
Oh. I did not hear that.
So where could nowhere be?
Well, anywhere? Didn't... I thought that either it was... Was it Adam Horowitz had said something that this wasn't England? It was like a pretend England?
Yeah.
Something about, yeah. Do you think that could have been it? Like,
so maybe that world is called Nowhere?
I guess.
Oh, maybe.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that kind of threw my timeline off because I thought it would kind of be some weird Bellfire crossover, but I guess not. So there goes my... anticipation for that.
Speaking of crossovers and whatnot, that's something that we've been asking guests as they've come on and stuff. We kind of have a feeling that this whole series is to set up one or two characters' backstories that are going to be folded into the main series proper. What are you guys' bets on who that character is and why?
Well, personally for me, I would like to see Alice and the Knave crossover. Because Alice can touch, you know, other characters, like they brought Jefferson back and, you know, the Queen of Hearts and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would really like to see some of the villains from Wonderland show up on the main show just because we are lacking in villains on Once Upon a Time because they all seem to.
All of them.
Yeah. So we need somebody on that show. So, I mean, Jafar's been a pretty good villain so far. So I wouldn't mind seeing him show up there.
I want to see Regina be bad again.
That'd be
But that's just me.
Deborah, what do you think? Yeah,
I think the Knave would be a really cool crossover. I mean, I feel like he's at a huge range that it would definitely work for Once Upon a Time, because I think some, you know, individual characters wouldn't really work, you know, perfectly. But I also think that Little Mermaid would be interesting since she can cross realms. That might be a good crossover. What happened to sorry, this is like a random thought in my brain. What happened to the rabbit guy, the guy with the hat? What is it? Not the white rabbit, the other one. The one that makes the hat.
The March Hare?
No. Jefferson.
No. Yeah, what happened to him?
He got another show. Also, he's Bucky in Captain America too, isn't he?
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
I knew
you'd have my back, Rebecca.
Yeah, I know. I got it.
He literally would have been the perfect person to be in this show.
Yeah, I'm surprised they never had a cameo with him, even. Just like
exactly.
If he's doing as many other things as you say.
He's the Winter Soldier. Spoilers.
Spoiler alert. I guess technically the Knave actually is already a crossover character because he showed up in the Wonderland pilot in Storybrooke. So, yeah. So I guess we can already count
him.
He
needs to crossover.
For me, and I think Anne-Marie shares my thoughts on this. The definite want is the Knave. The probably is going to be the reality is Jafar, I think. Just because, you know, they're friends with him from his lost days, and, you know, they've been focusing a lot on Jafar. So, if Jafar doesn't show up in once proper the next
at
half of the season, I'd be shocked. I would fall over from shock.
Yeah, because they still have to do an Aladdin story, I would assume. So.
Oh, yeah, because they haven't even touched on that, really.
Do you think Sidney Glass is going to come back and be another genie in the lamp?
That could
Didn't his show get canceled?
Did Revolution get canceled?
I don't know.
What?
I have heard very negative things about it.
I would not cry over that, but if it's still going, it might be hard for him to show up.
Well, it might be cool for like the finale or something, like Jafar is getting the last genie or whatever, and you know, one of them ends up being Sidney Glass. But then again, he's in jail in Storybrooke, so as far as we know.
Well, maybe they'll let him out. I don't know.
Okay, so something when Cyrus finally got out of Jafar's palace and Alice was looking at him, there was that whole big area in between them covered in fog. Any ideas as to what might be in there? Because I know Jafar was very confident that anyone who got out of his palace wouldn't survive getting out of his palace, so he wasn't worried. So I'm wondering if you guys have any ideas, maybe from the original story or something else, that what might be in that fog.
What about that book? Wasn't there several other like crazy animals that could attack people? Do you think maybe something will come back again?
See, what I was thinking was maybe the Jabberwock from the original Alice.
I like that. That would be good protection for his castle.
Yeah, plus, you know, that the fog and everything, it really kind of reminded me of almost of like a swampy area. And there was I think we've mentioned it before when talking about Wonderland, there was a two-night TV event back in the 80s, like a big musical, Alice in Wonderland through the Looking Glass thing. And the design of the Jabberwock on that was very swampy. So I thought it just came to mind when I saw the fog and everything that it could be the Jabberwocky. But I'm sure we'll probably get more into that next week, maybe. We'll talk about that when we get to the trailer. But let's see, Anne-Marie, you had another point here?
I did, didn't I? So the man in the cage. Mm-hmm. I think it's Jafar's dad.
Good call. I applaud.
A.K.A. the Sultan.
The Sultan.
Because we learned last week.
We learned that last week, and this was my thought last week. This is a carryover point. And then I still think it's him because he said that he has something that Jafar wants, but he's not going to give it to him, which I'm going to guess is more an apology. Honestly, it might be his love because he just feels like an abandoned bastard.
Yeah.
Or my French. But, well,
that's what he called himself.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. There's some people. So.
Oh, yeah. And that's probably also why he was pretty confident that Jafar wouldn't kill him no matter what.
He basically said he's not going to kill me.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he was pretty confident in that. I'm interested to see where that goes. What was that? That actor's from something, the other guy in the cage. What's he from? Was he from Seinfeld, maybe?
Was oh, yes. You know what? He was.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, he owned a restaurant. I forget his name.
Was he the soup Nazi?
No, he's not the soup Nazi.
Okay, I was going to say.
That would have been awesome.
I don't know.
No soup for you.
No, right. Yeah, that's not
the that soup Nazi had a mustache like that.
I think it's the guy who there was some sort of urination on the couch situation happening.
Yes.
Oh, I forget what that guy's name was. But yeah, he was definitely from Seinfeld.
Yeah, when I saw him and I recognized him, I was like, that guy's going to have something. He's going to be important somewhere.
Yeah.
So I guess we shall see. So, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Was I the only one that thought that, I don't know, for like a split second that the guy in the cage was Jafar? Like, I don't know.
A transformed disguise Jafar?
Yeah, because that's the same thing happened in Aladdin, but I felt like there was a portion right before Cyrus is going to free him that he was like, oh, I'm going to be Jafar, but it didn't happen. Like, for me, for 10 seconds, I was like, is this Jafar? Is he, like, really, you know, is he in him right now, you know, doing his little spooky dance? So, I don't know. Maybe that was just me, but I thought for, like, a split second that it was Jafar in the old man.
See, on one hand, I would have really liked that because it would have been very Jafar-y and fun. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it would have delayed Cyrus getting out of there by another episode, probably, because, you know, Jafar would have stopped him. And just move the story along, people. Come on.
Yeah.
Which they did, thankfully. So do either of you have, since we didn't let you guys put your points in like we usually do because we had so much and stuff, do either of you have anything that we didn't bring up that you want to bring up about the episode?
Or well, the show in general?
Just to verify the Seinfeld thing, that was not Poppy who peed on his couch.
Poppy!
it was not Poppy. I just looked that up. Nice. I guess one of my big questions is, because we've seen like the Red Queen use magic a lot. And so my question is, where did she learn that? Because I don't know if we know that Anastasia knew how to use magic when she was just, you know, the girl that we've seen.
Well, so, you would assume she would have used it to get them, you know, some food or something. But then again, she also did know what the mushroom did. So
that's true.
So it's like
that was interesting. Like, how did she know that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know she knew of Wonderland, but I didn't really understand how she knew so much. Like, I felt like she had she was kind of pre-briefed before she went to Wonderland.
Yeah, it did kind of seem like she was kind of like Wonderland fangirl. Like she'd been, you know, looking at all the travel guides and, you know, making an itinerary for them and everything.
TripAdvisor.
Nice.
When you need to travel between realms, TripAdvisor.com. Okay, and I guess we'll start with let's start with Rebecca. Change it up. Out of 34 grains of anti-magic dust, how many grains of anti-magic dust would you give this episode?
Out of 34, let's go 30.
30?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I thought it was just a strong episode for Alice, and I liked all the backstory stuff. And I mean, it wasn't a perfect episode, so I won't give it a 34. But overall, I really enjoyed it. I mean, the act out right when they got to the evil Alice in the little cave thing there, I was really surprised by that. And this was one of the first times watching Wonderland where I went, "What is happening right here?" So anytime I get kind of a response like that while watching an episode, I mean, that's pretty good for me. So I'd give it a 30.
Excellent. Okay, Anne-Marie, out of 34 anti-magic grains of sand, I think that's what I said last time.
28.
Why?
28. Well, see, it would have been something like a 24 or something, but then that last half just kicked up so good. I got more Knave and Queen, and that's what I really was wanting. But finally, Cyrus has escaped, so hopefully we're going to kick it up a notch, bam, if you will. So I don't know, maybe because I'm hopeful. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful for the next three episodes.
This episode gave you hope.
This episode was brought to you by hope. Wait a minute.
Okay, Debbie Deb Deb Deb.
Yeah.
34 anti-magic grains of sand. What do you say? What do you give me?
I'm going to go 29.
29.
So I'm going to be in the middle. I think I really enjoyed the Anastasia Will backstory. I thought that was really cute. Like, it really made me like her because I've hated her so long since the beginning of the season. So it kind of made her human to me. I mean, her lips kill me. Like, I swear every time I'm like, I push my lips out just to pretend. Like, ooh, hello. Hello. But I enjoyed seeing how she became to power. I enjoyed, you know, kind of the whole story of how she became the queen, because I felt like that was lacking. We didn't really know where that came from. The whole comment of her with a stolen crown. So that was really cool to see. And I want Cyrus and, you know, Alice to get together. So I would say 29.
Excellent. I would give it 24 just because of how – well, actually, that's partially because of how much I hated last week's episode.
you can't hold it against it.
Well, I went in kind of sour on the whole thing.
Kind of.
And then the first half of the episode was kind of lackluster. But then they really kicked it in at the end. And if the entire episode was Creepy Alice and the origin of why the Red Queen talks weird – 34 grains. Easy. But I'm going to have to give it 24. But again, as Anne-Marie said, I'm very, very hopeful. Now let's see here. Usually here we would have our sponsor read, but we didn't include it because we're lazy. So I'll just say I just released a book called Dog Boy Den of Thieves. It's Oliver Twist meets Stanley Spider-Man, or if you prefer, Hardy Boys meets Kick-Ass. And it's basically about a 13-year-old superhero named Bronson Black who operates in Colta City and fights the Guild of Thieves. I'll leave it at that. If you want to check it out, dogboyadventures.com. That's where you can – there's a free chapter. You can get some more information, see the wonderful cover art by Paul Loudon, and buy the book if you want to. I like it. It's good. But I wrote it, so I'm kind of biased. But that'll constitute our sponsor read this week, and it's completely self-serving. I apologize, folks. But now, on to the news. News.
That's my favorite part, not going to lie.
We randomly do it when talking to each other, too. It's kind of sad.
Like waiting for that part. Like, come on.
That's our favorite part, too. Although, unfortunately, because of the delay on Skype, it's not quite as smooth as it is in the same room. Okay, we'll go ahead and hit up ratings here. Ratings, we had a 0.9 out of 3 in the 18 to 49 demo, which is the big one. 3.73 million viewers, which isn't bad. Beat out Parks and Rec, Vampire Diaries.
But still got less of the share.
Yeah, Big Bang Theory is the unstoppable juggernaut.
Yeah, Thursday night at 8 is tough.
Horrible.
Yeah, and we've talked about this in previous weeks, but it really seems weird they put it there. It seems like it would have been better to put it in a block with Once Proper, right?
That's what I was actually reading in an article about why Wonderland is suffering. I don't remember where it is. No, I don't have a link. Sorry. but it basically said, why did they do this to it? This was signing its death. They should have left it as a mid-season break the way it was originally intended, because then you could have just replaced Once Proper with Once Wonderland. You have a built-in audience who's already coming in, who doesn't have a – there is no other loyalty at that time. They're already committed to that time slot.
Mm.
And I think that would have been much better. We'd have gotten the full 10, 12, 16, I don't know how many weeks, but it wouldn't have had to keep getting cut.
Well, I guess it depends on how the series works out, too, as to whether that would have made sense or not. You know, because both I noticed that, and this might be a little spoiler territory, so bye if you hate spoilers. but both for the main series and this series, the last episodes of this section of both of them, and, you know, the entire series here, reference going home. So I'm wondering if maybe home is the same place for both series, and maybe we might, you know, kind of dovetail and tie in right at the end.
Well, the last episode of Wonderland is something about home.
Yeah. So
cool.
So we shall see. Speaking of further episodes of Wonderland, we do have a promo here. The episode is called Who's Alice? I'm just going to – did you guys get a chance to look at this at all?
I did.
Yeah, it was really short.
Yeah.
I felt like there wasn't much to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like the basic premise of it is going to be that Alice goes back to her family somehow and has to choose between her family or, you know, her life back there and Cyrus, which seems like it'll probably be a pretty easy choice for her, especially considering how her parents were kind of had moved on past her disappearing when she was a kid. That screw you up.
And didn't they put her in an asylum?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an easy choice.
See, I have issues figuring out where those scenes were coming from timeline-wise. I actually feel like some of that happened before she got sent to the asylum.
Like maybe between when Cyrus got abducted and she got... Okay.
I have timeline problems with this entire show, but I don't think it's all now. I think a lot of, or at least part of it, is from before.
That makes sense.
I don't think she would leave Wonderland except, you know, by noose right now because she's finally making progress.
Yeah, I am definitely glad to see that we're going to get just a little bit more of Alice's, you know, native world, though, too, to kind of maybe, you know, further define it in relation to all the other realms we have floating around right now.
Right.
That'll definitely be cool. And yeah, I can definitely see that, you know, taking place in the post second time in Wonderland pre-asylum days too. But maybe my mind's just leaning that way because I'm pretty sure that the rabbit told Jafar about Alice's family.
Right. But that doesn't mean he takes Alice there.
Yeah. And, you know,
I was thinking it was going to be is he was going to bring whoever it was back to Wonderland.
This is true. And yeah, and, you know, the whole Jafar saying that it was a portal to nowhere, too. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see next Thursday, ABC.
That would be hilarious, though, if we saw Jafar in, like, Britain at that time frame.
Yeah.
His clothes.
He would stick out.
With his staff. With his girlfriend staff.
They're going to throw him into asylum. Like, what are you wearing? Go home.
Just a stand, like floating next to Big Ben and on a really cheesy CGI carpet.
Oh, wait, really cheesy CGI.
Making like big eyebrow gestures like he tends to do.
Yes.
Okay. Now, unfortunately, we haven't been getting a lot of feedback on the Wonderland stuff lately, which, you know, considering that it doesn't seem like too many people are watching is understandable. But we do love to hear from you. You can email us greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can tweet us at GF Storybrooke. You can hit up our Facebook, which has been super active lately. Thank you for that. It's facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And you can also leave us a voicemail, 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And we love voicemails. You know, watch the episode on Thursday night. Run to your phone. Don't walk. Run to your phone.
Who doesn't have their phone sitting next to them? Come on now. Unless it's charging, your phone is like in your lap.
And we did actually get a voicemail this week from Robert, but unfortunately the connection broke up a little bit for him or something, and it was unintelligible. There were like 15 seconds here and there that you could understand, but it was just kind of broken up. So unfortunately we weren't able to play it, Robert. Don't let that discourage you from calling in again. Hopefully we'll have a better connection for you next time. But Amory, did you want to read this that we have from
our
super fan Win?
Super fan Win starts off, hi, # team Amory.
Boo.
I needed a hashtag for the show. Agrabah, still more interesting than Wonderland in many ways.
Oh yeah, by the way, we should preface
this. This is from last week.
Yeah, this is from last week.
That's because we had no feedback this week. I enjoyed Jafar's backstory and was glad that he dispatched his mistress of the dark to serve back the evil she had brought out in him, making her into his staff. Wordplay there, as she now works for him, was very creative.
Nice.
Too much kissing, though. My inside voice complains like the little boy in The Princess Bride every time the characters on this particular show lock lips. Lack of actor chemistry, maybe? Question mark?
No question mark needed. That should have been a period Win. I'm disappointed.
Could have been an exclamation mark. also, no love for the random costuming of people in the crowd scenes. Did the Capitol...
Yes.
a la Hunger Games, drop its old clothes down a portal hole. It's loading characters on a catapult the same as jumping the shark. Does actor Brian George have the easiest gig ever, lying on the floor all day? I have so many questions.
Brian George is the guy from Seinfeld.
Yes. Uh-huh. But all he does is lay in a cage.
And he played Babu.
He does play Babu.
Nice. But thank you very much for writing and winning. And yeah, the making out can be a little weird sometimes on this show.
They just seemed awkward.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed really awkward.
Well, actually, like I think a lot of this show, like it feels like when they're doing like the CGI scenes on Wonderland, it feels like when the CGI scenes are bad, it's because of the CGI. When the CGI scenes feel bad in this show, it feels almost like it's because of the acting. Like, yes. I don't know. Like sometimes it feels like they're not even in the same room.
Yeah, it's like they're trying way too hard, and mm-hmm. it's just get lost in like video translation. It's like, oh mm-hmm. God, you're killing me. Just stop.
Yeah, and something from last week's episode I didn't bring up that I was on my notes last week that I wanted to bring up was just it felt like Jafar ended it three times. Like it felt like there were three different ways for Jafar to try and get Alice to make her wish. And then they just, instead of cutting one and going with the good one, they just kept all three in. And it just like went over and over again, and it was weird. But I thought I'd mention that. But thank you very much, Wynn, for writing in. If you want to write in, you can write us at greetingsfromstorybrook@gmail.com. Tweet us at GFStorybrook. Facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrook. And voicemail is 424-274-2352. Now, we will be back Monday evening/Tuesday morning, depending on when you download it, with our discussion of this week's once episode, which I've seen some previews for. Looks pretty good. Pretty mm-hmm. darn good. Rebecca, where can people find you?
You can find my podcast, Operation Cobra Podcast, at operationcobrapodcast.com. And you can find us on Twitter at @OpCobraPodcast.
And if you follow your personal, what's your personal Twitter?
My personal Twitter is @DerbyKid. So if you want to see some random things, follow me there.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they follow you and then they follow me at my personal Twitter, @BillMeeks, they can see a lot of really good conversation about Man of Steel, Superman, yeah. The character of Lois Lane in general.
There's a lot of crossover.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. Okay, now, Deborah, where can people find you?
You can catch me on Twitter at @SnowBunny143, and I'm a loser, so that's really it.
You have a blog, too, don't you? You have a blog.
I do. I only was doing it for 2 weeks. It was just a little experiment to go like a raw juice diet. I lost 10 pounds, so it worked out.
Okay.
Congratulations.
But I haven't actually done anything more than that because I started eating meat again. So I'm actually...
There is nothing wrong with eating meat.
Meat's good.
I'm actually thinking of... So I listen to a lot of audiobooks. So I was thinking about kind of doing like a... kind of like a diva book thing, just kind of explaining the books Ooh. I've listened to and kind of what I was taking a look at. So that is kind of in my brain right now, but it's 3 a.m. So God knows what can happen.
See, that's a shame we didn't have Audible as a sponsor this week, which, by the way, you can also get a free trial at Audible by going to audibletrial.com/storybrook. Anne-Marie, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter @AMDSimone. And I also recently started a blog that mm-hmm. is a little lacking this week, but I promise to catch up. It is crunchy, crafty, and highly caffeinated.wordpress.com. It's a lot of paleo recipes, crafting attempts, and basically I talk as crazy as I do here because I know you all love me being highly caffeinated. So please feel free. I take any feedback. I'm learning.
Yes. Good stuff. And you can, as I said, actually, you know what? I'm not going to plug anything for myself because I did that whole ad thing for me with the dog boy thing, dogboyadventures.com in the middle of the episode. So I won't plug that here. Instead, I'll plug things that are completely unrelated to me. You can follow Barack Obama @BarackObama. And you can get all your latest news for the U.S. at CNN.com. Well, I guess that's
wow.
About it.
Wow. You went political even. That's the comedy of it.
I did. Yeah, actually, that was very politically themed.
That was extremely political.
I didn't intend
perhaps
it to be.
We should have sent people to following Adam Horowitz or one of the actors.
But see, I have a relation to that because I did do the Once podcast, right? So I was looking for things unrelated to me. Okay.
Anyway. Okay, we're going to stop this now.
Yes, we are.
It's crazy.
So I guess then until next time. Greetings from Storyland and Wonder Place.
We usually figure that out. Where's my magic juice?